Wessels John, Sunnyside, Currambong, New South Wales, Australia. April 12, 1899. Dear brother, I can only say that what I have written, I have written. You must do what you feel it your duty to do. The conference is sending us means to advance the work in Australia, and this is the right thing for them to do. The money I shall receive on my last book will, I hope, settle the debts which have long been a burden on my mind, and when these debts are wiped out, I shall thank the Lord and go forward still. We shall not fail nor be discouraged. You may ask, why am I needed? My brother, the Lord is working in Australia. We see a great work to be done in Western Australia and in all the regions about us. If this work had been placed on a proper basis years ago, it would have given the people confidence in us. But as it is now, we need help, and we shall be very pleased to have you with us. But I cannot advise you what to do. I dare not. I just lay the matter before you, and you must work out the problem for yourself. It has been presented to me that this move on your part may prove the means of drawing the Wessels boys from their present associations, placing them where they can breathe a different atmosphere. Their abundance of means, to handle for the indulgence of self, has been no benefit to the young members of the Wessels family. Henry has not exerted a saving influence. Neither he nor his wife have felt their accountability to God. For years the matter has been laid before me that these young men must break up their present association by placing themselves in the light, and by yielding themselves to the influences of the Spirit of God, become a savor of life unto life. Unless the Holy Spirit shall mold and fashion their entire experience, they will make shipwreck of faith. Do you suppose Satan will leave them alone for one moment? He has spread his net for their souls, and unless a change takes place in them, and they strive to reach the gospel standard, they will lose eternal life. I am constantly writing to the Wessels family, in the hope that sometime my words will break down the barrier, and they will see that if souls would shun perdition, they must pursue a course different from that which they have hitherto taken. It is the glamour and gloss of riches that has made so many lives what they are, deceptive and soul-destroying. The enemy took Philip from under Christ's banner and placed him under his rule. Philip thought to have his own way and to do marvelous things in his own human weakness. But the Lord, who loved and pitied him, would not prosper him, because he knew it would prove his ruin. Philip's failure in financial matters has been a blessing in disguise from God. He must now heed the words of the great teacher, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 28-30. When Philip yokes up with Christ, humbling himself before God, then the Lord will lift him up. But just as long as he strives to be a great man by breaking the commandments of God, all heaven will pronounce him the least. All Sister Wessels' children need to cleanse the soul temple from moral and spiritual defilement, or they will perish in their sins. God is in earnest with us. We cannot play at loose purposes with him. He requires the whole being, heart, mind, soul, and strength, to do him service. Shall this be a game that wins heaven or that loses the soul? Life or death will be the result of what we individually are before God. Christ has made every provision whereby we shall be saved, but notwithstanding the light shining upon our pathway, leading us to the straight gate, the narrow way, the perverted imagination, the unconverted appetites and passions, are leading souls to choose the broad way to the ruin of the soul. High and holy must be the purposes of every soul who obtains the character we must all possess if we win a crown of everlasting life. Which way do we face? Which road are we traveling? The broad road of self-indulgence, or the road that leads heavenward? These are solemn and important questions for every soul. If we are walking in a safe path, the only path that leads to glory and honor, immortality and eternal life, then we shall catch the Spirit of Christ our Savior. We shall love to contemplate His beauty, and by beholding Him, we shall become changed into His divine image. Which road are we traveling? We may take with us into the broad road all our evil tendencies, our cheapness of character, our associates in evil. We may choose to listen to their words and laugh at their wit, but in so doing, we shall descend lower and lower in the scale of moral value with God, and at last the words will be spoken, "Cut down the unfruitful tree." Why cumbereth it the ground? Luke 13, verse 7. It remains to be seen whether the members of the Wessels family have chosen Christ or the world, whether heaven is of the highest value to them, or whether self and self-indulgence are more to them than Christ and God and heaven. It remains to be seen whether they will follow Christ. "He that will come after me," Christ said, "let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Luke 9, verse 23. Dan entertains the idea of becoming a lawyer. He may have the companionship of Christ instead of that of associates who will lead him away from truth and holiness and heaven. This is a life and death question with him. He should have taken his stand long ago, giving his life and influence to Jesus Christ, who gave his life to redeem him from ruin. The great work before the children of my much-respected sister Wessels is to keep before their mind's eye him who loved them and gave himself for them. There is no honor in this world save that which Christ himself has purchased with his own blood. Satan will present his allurements, but he has woven a tissue of lies. He presents honor to all who will follow him, but he gives the reverse of honor. His followers reap degradation and slavery to sin. It seems to me, as I look upon the gins and nets of Satan, whereby he deceives souls, that the schemes he has devised by which to ensnare the human mind are without number. How, I ask myself, can human beings choose this companionship and be deluded by his insinuations and his lies? I would now address Dan and Andrew. The Lord says to each of you, "My son, give me thine heart." Proverbs 23, verse 26. The great object to be gained by you is the salvation of your souls. This you should ever keep in view. Vain hopes, vain theories, vain calculations are now composing your character building. Come to Jesus just as you are. This is the invitation Christ has given you. You must not suppose that you must have a special agonizing of souls, but you must repent of your sins. As you advance to Christ, He will advance to you. He sees your disorders. He knows that your soul is diseased by sin, and He would say to you, "Young men, thy sins are forgiven thee." Whatever may have been your sins, Christ knows how to deal with them. Shall He be forced to say of these dear youth, "Ye would not come to me, that ye might have life"? The great physician will save to the uttermost all who come unto him. He understands what to do for you. I feel an intense desire that you, Dan and Andrew, should have your sins washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. Do not delay. Do not wait for any feeling you suppose you must have. Christ has invited you to come. He will save all who look to Him and believe in Him as their personal Savior. Do not dishonor God and Jesus Christ, your Redeemer. For your soul's sake, make no delay. Commit the keeping of your soul to Him as to a faithful Creator. Christ's dying love for you is a proof of His willingness to save. His resurrection and ascension are proof of His power. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. John 1, verse 12. O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, "Behold your God." Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arms, and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Isaiah 40, verse 9-11. Young men, will you come? I cannot endure the thought of you remaining in a Christless state. If you will conform your will to His, Christ will enter into all your life, directing, pervading, and giving character to every action. Enter into His service, and He will be your teacher. If you will come to Jesus, enlisting in His army, your personal qualities will be acknowledged by the heavenly angels. Put your heart into God's service. Be a true child of heaven. I will carry this matter further in the next letter I write. Please write to me, for my heart is drawn out to you both. The Lord has given to every man his work, and each of you have a work for the Master. Then enter into it. Take it up. Be men. Leave behind you a bright light that others may follow. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55, verse 6, 7.